Good morning. Welcome to the Lion Eyes Podcast. Today is November 13th, 2014. We're on our third podcast, our product guarantee. It's free, so set the bar there. I'm your host, Art Leon. Welcome to the First Amendment Gone Viral, the podcast, seemingly becoming the most popular form of regular people getting their uneducated opinions out into the world, including this guy. What are we going to be talking about today? A little preview. We're going to be going over life, just what's going on in general here, the elections, some quick sports, pop cultures, tweets and such. Trying to make this one a quick one. So, life. I guess we'll start there. First and foremost, let me explain to everyone that this is, I want to say the fourth podcast I've tried recording in just about as many days. So this started last Saturday. I spent an ungodly amount of hours trying to do research to get this podcast on iTunes. So I want all the listeners to realize we're doing some work to that, some struggles. I'm doing something wrong with the coding or the chain that I have to try to get this file uploaded to the proper places in order to convert it and put it on iTunes. And then after that, I recorded a podcast. I thought a pretty good one for our third podcast. I actually had a guest, the lady. The lady was on and she contributed some ideas to the election, had some environmental stuff, was pretty good. Also, she served a nice role to move along the podcast. So I thought it went very well. She knew when to cut me off when I was rambling, so I thought that was good. And then in the process of saving and editing it, the program Audacity, which is free, so much like this podcast, I guess you really can't complain that much, crashed on me, and so I lost that data. I was able to retrieve some of it, and what was left, the podcast was a little over an hour, I think, close to it, and about every 20 seconds, there would be a break. There was a cutoff where we would be missing about 10 to 15 seconds. So it was very choppy. It was unedited. I really couldn't save anything from that podcast. And then I tried a few more times and just couldn't get into the right rhythm. Ended up cutting myself off a few times. So I just want the listeners to appreciate some of the effort that's being putting in here on these first few podcasts. I'm trying to get a hang of things. We're trying. We're working hard. Trying to make this as a better product that we can actually put on iTunes. And then later in the podcast, some surprise announcements as we're talking about progress being made moving forward. The boat, I said last time I did a podcast that if I had not done anything to my boat, that I definitely wanted some harsh feedback. Well, I have, so no need to write in angry letters quite yet. Ended up cleaning out the cockpit with the help of my dad, and then cleaned the cockpit out. It's not perfect, needs to be polished and buffed and such, but it's a good start moving the boat in the right direction. Gearing up here in the spring, hopefully in the spring she'll be launchable, so do some work over the winter on her. And that's it pretty much for life right now. That's the updates we're going to be talking about with that, which leads us to the A topic, which is the election. I tried talking about this much closer to the election. Obviously, like I said, I tried doing something last week, which, you know, I've been slacking here on the podcast, missed a week, and then kept finding excuses. You know, life kept getting in the way, and different events kept going on, and I kept saying, oh, I'll wait till after this, and I'll podcast. And, you know, one thing led to another, and here we are on November 13th. So regardless, let's touch upon the election. We'll make this quick. I talked about it much more in length in this mysterious podcast that was deleted. You know, essentially it comes down to this. I mean, everybody by now knows how the election went. There's a Republican mandate, you know, I guess as people are saying. So let's be adults. I think somebody in this room needs to be an adult about everything, and you know, let it be the Democratic Party, I guess. At least I'm rooting for that. I'm hoping everyone's going to be adult, that the Republicans are actually going to govern, and we can see what their ideas and policies are about, and what their agenda and ideas for America is. We really don't know what their agenda and policy is. We know what the Tea Party wants, because they've made that very clear, but we don't actually know what the actual base, the Republican Party, the party of Wall Street, the party of business, what their agenda and goals are, if they're actually interested in governing. So, you know, the last 6 years, we've seen that their policy has been to do nothing, and that's not really effective. And then, you know, to their detriment, the Democrats really haven't done anything worthwhile either. So no one's really leading. So, you know, let's have that party that was voted in. Let's see what they can do, and hopefully it's something positive. Because I think that's more constructive than having people spend a lot of time just putting down those elected into office before they get anything done. Let's see what their body of work is. Let it speak for itself, and then I think we could come out and either speak positively or complain about it. So that's going to be my call, is that there's adults in the room acting like adults for this. My long-term projection, so we'll put this in the public record so it's out there. I think this election is going to cause Elizabeth Warren to come out in 2016. We'll see if I'm right. If I am, you heard it here in 2014. I've been pushing for and campaigning for Elizabeth Warren to get out there. And by campaigning, I mean campaigning to people I know. So, you know, there's that. Locally, we had a Republican sweep here in St. Mary's County. First time since, I think, the mid-90s that's actually happened. So, again, we'll see what they're able to do. Vote in on the mandate that they're going to lower taxes, which is interesting because I don't know where else they're going to get the money in a county that they claim there's an excess of funds, but I don't know where it's at. So we'll actually see if they can govern with their campaign promises, and once they can't, how that's going to affect them here at the local level, which is going to be interesting to watch. And, you know, I will say that there was an abundance in this election, both on the Democratic and Republican side, to see two things. One, people not voting with their interest. It's astonishing. You know, for example, I work by the water, to see watermen and people related to watermen, people whose job is dependent on the state of the Chesapeake Bay, to not vote for people who have an interest in improving the bay. And we'll get to that more. I don't want to step on what I know is going to be a very interesting and vivid conversation with the lady who has a lot more technical and scientific understanding of this, and brings much more of this conversation. So I'm just using that as an example. It goes to a wide variety of other issues. You know, students with college debt, you know, they're staying at home rather than coming out and voting and putting people in office who are interesting in leaving that, so that a generation of Americans, the post 9/11 generation, can actually move up into the middle class. That's not going to happen unless something's done about the debt and just a number of other issues. You know, it's just frustrating, and I don't want to spiral out of control and be on this topic for a long time. But it's something to think about, and something we're going to be talking about as this podcast moves forward, is the discrepancy between the actual need of the people and then what they end up doing on the election days, and how they represent their need versus who they're actually supporting or not supporting, or lack of support. And then finally is this false dichotomy between local officials who are running for office and are running against a national mandate. To have someone running for county commissioner even speak about Obamacare is ridiculous. unless it's a very specific situation where a question arises, where they're talking about political theory and ideology that would bring up a mandate for healthcare at the national level. But to run and speak publicly at the local level about their interest in repealing this act really benefits no one because it's not in their wheelhouse. It's not something that they have the power or ability to do, and it takes away from the conversation of what will you actually do if you're elected. It's the idea that these people they're essentially on a job interview when they're on the election trail and they're campaigning. It's the equivalent of you going in the job you have. You know, let's say you're an engineer. And you sit down for your job interview and you start talking about what great skills you have in making spaghetti sauce. I mean, that's irrelevant and doesn't contribute to the conversation and doesn't add to what your expertise for that job would be. I mean, it would be laughable in any other profession except for politics to have someone sit in a job interview and talk about something unrelated to their job about how that will help them. Not in the sense where you're talking about transferable skills, but I'm saying that you're sitting down and you're being asked, you know, what will you do for us? And then you're telling them, you know, what you would do for another, you know, product. You know, again, an engineer talking about cooking. I mean, it doesn't make sense, and it doesn't make sense that we allow our elected officials to stand on the campaign trail and talk about, you know, these ideologies of what they would do. In a job that it just doesn't fit. And I know I'm articulating this while I'm making horrible metaphors and analogies, but it's a point that just drives me mad. And yeah, I'll bring this up again in the future when I have something more concrete to point to. It was just very specific to me here in St. Mary's County when I heard people talk about the healthcare mandate when they were very much running for a local office, you know, not even at the state level where they could, you know, influence the Maryland connection, which is their version. You know, Maryland didn't accept the federal Affordable Care Act website, and instead they decided to create their own exchange. So, you know, that would be something that at the state level they could talk about, but not at the local level. It's just nonsense. And you know, somebody needs to speak up and say, like, that's not the job you're running for. You know, it's quite laughable. You see it a lot in the presidential elections as well. And, you know, if we make it to 2016, I will definitely harp on that issue when we're watching a debate and a question's asked and the president, you know, the nominee for the presidency is talking about something that's outside presidential powers. That irks me more than this issue, but whatever. I'm rambling. Let's move on. One more thing about politics. You know, I talked about this in the podcast that was deleted, and I was harping on it for comedic purposes, but I think it's worth bringing up. I think we've reached a point in 2014 where we could move past the Bill Clinton getting a blowjob from Monica Lewinsky. It's been 16 years. I think the Republicans can, you know, figuratively and, you know, literally just get off Bill Clinton's dick. I mean, let's move on from this issue and let's stop going back to Bill Clinton every time we hear, you know, something of scandalous involving sex with an elected official or even anybody in general. I mean, this issue came up because of Bill Cosby, and I'm not going to get into that right now. Let some other facts come to the surface on that one. If you're interested, just go to Google, type in Bill Cosby and, you know, current events, and you'll get more details on that. But I was reading an article on that issue, and it referred to Bill Clinton as a serial rapist, and, you know, brought up the Monica Lewinsky, which of all the scandals involving Bill Clinton and of his extramarital affairs, I think the Monica Lewinsky one is the least that the least of those that could be categorized as serial rapist. You know, obviously there's allegations Bill Clinton had against him when he was, you know, governor, which that's going back to the 80s. And Republicans are still, you know, harping on this. You know, nothing ever brought up to court, and I think it was more than clearly shown that you know, sexual harassment, yes, I think there's a strong argument to be made that Bill Clinton was probably a king of sexual harassment when he was governor of Arkansas and probably president. But you know, a serial rapist, I think, is a dangerous accusation to throw around, and it cheapens that term when it's a serious term and an accusation that shouldn't be flung around. And here's something on the last podcast that I definitely played out for comedic purposes, and now is a very more somber and serious tone as I'm talking about this. But yeah, maybe again I'll bring it up. I have some funny points about this, but I guess it's just not naturally coming out right now. So yep, we'll move on to sports. See, that wasn't too bad. What is it, 10 minutes of election issues, some serious stuff. And yeah, I know, not the most exciting or, you know, thrilling topics. I moved that along. I didn't stay on anything, you know, too very long, probably more than you wanted. So yeah, 10 minutes in my world and probably an hour for some people. So now you know, hopefully you stuck with it. And if you're here, congratulations. Thanks for sticking around through the election stuff. And you know, let's talk about sports. Why? Because sports. So here we are with that. Yeah, I've missed a lot of football and made some week 10 picks, and I was off. I mean, as off as you can be on some of my week 10 picks. As a matter of fact, every time I've written down a lock of the week, I've gotten it wrong, which will go back to the Seahawks losing. And I made that pick of the week, and that was my lock of the week, that the Seahawks would win. And one of our top listeners, longtime listener, first-time writer, Scott Obermiller, told me that was a laughable pick of the week, and it was wrong. It was very, very wrong. So none of our locks of the week are laughable. We're all taking chances here. And again, this is a reminder that if you are taking my advice for gambling, it's foolish. So yeah, don't do that. Don't do that at all. So let's go over week 11. Let's make some picks. Let's see how horrible they are. We can all laugh about them later. First and foremost, full disclosure, this is being recorded after the Dolphins have already beat the Bills, which is... wonderful. Very good. Very good. We're all happy about that. I guess we're getting an answer on maybe who these Dolphins are, but don't worry. They'll end up breaking my heart when they go play Denver next week, so we'll enjoy this brief moment where we're above 500. First time that's happened since 2006, Dolphin fans, so long time struggling there as a Dolphins fan. Maybe 2008. Actually, no, 2008. First time since 2008, excuse me, that the Dolphins are above 500. So that still doesn't make it better. I said that, instead of 8 years, it's six. That's still long. That's too long for a franchise not to be above 500. So that's sad. Now I'm sad. I'm really just... And I've still got to make the rest of these football picks. But let's do that. Reminding myself that the Dolphins did win today. They should have won. So let's not get too hyped up on a win they should have had. So let's see. Sunday at 1 o'clock. Vikings at Bears. Boy, do the Bears suck. If you're a Bears fan, I'm sorry. Take a year off. Root for another team. Distress. You know, just, you know, stop beating your head against the wall. I don't know if I've ever seen a player besides Jay Cutler who either does not give any fucks, like none, or just has a face that just looks pissy, like he just got slapped by a stranger. I mean, this man just looks sour all the time, like he doesn't care. I don't know. Maybe he does care, but like maybe they should paint like a frown on his face so fans can think that he's showing some emotion when he throws just mind-boggling interceptions. Jay Cutler is killing the Bears. I'm going to pick them to lose. Bears losing to the Vikings at Lambeau Field. Not Lambeau, Jesus Christ, at Soldier Field.
Cool.
To all the Packers fans out there, my apologies. Ooh. I could care less. I'm not a fan of either of those two teams, and I understand you have a blood rivalry, but suck it. Texans at Browns. Browns. Probably the NFL surprise of the year is the Cleveland Browns. We're going to pick them to continue their winning ways at Cleveland with Johnny Manziel sitting on the bench. There you go. I wonder if he's making dollar signs while he's a bench player. How well does that go in Cleveland clubs? Yeah, Johnny, have fun in Cleveland clubs, buddy. Throw some dollars around there. Falcons at Panthers. Falcons. Bengals at Saints. Saints. Bucks at Redskins. Redskins. Even though they probably don't deserve to win that game, I hope they do. I hope RG3 is able to play well. Just because I'm tired of hearing every week living in Maryland about RG3. If he farts too hard, we hear about that and people try to interpret if his fart was meant as a sign of disrespect to the Washington Redskins. Jesus Christ. Broncos at Rams. Broncos. 49ers at Giants. 49ers. Seahawks at Chiefs. Chiefs. Raiders at Chargers. Chargers. Lions at Cardinals. This game's really going to show if the Cardinals can continue on the rest of the season without their starting quarterback, and if Drew Stanton can really step in the place of Carson Palmer and continue on with that high-firing offense that they have and really lean on that defensive unit to carry them on and carry the momentum. If they win this game, it's going to be because of their defense. Excuse me. And the Lions, probably one of the most untrustworthy teams in the NFL. Not quite sure who's going to come out. Pretty much on the arm of Matthew Stafford. If he's throwing a bunch of interceptions, they don't play well. I know that sounds obvious, but a lot of teams can overcome. Like, they're not dependent on their quarterback. They got a lot of other weapons. So I'm going to go Cardinals on that one. I think the Cardinals come through and show that they're a legitimate NFC team. And I think that puts them at that pack. If they can walk away from this game with a win, they are the number one team in the NFC, I do believe. So that'll be a big statement game for them. The next game, Eagles at Packers, that's going to be the game of the week. 4:25 on a Sunday. Tune in to that. Eagles at Packers. That's going to be a doozy. I don't know. I want to see let me see if I can look this up real quick, what the Vegas line is on the Eagles versus Packers. Because I think I'll take the, let me see here, Green Bay. Actually, let me pause this and look this up, and we'll pick this podcast back up. And we're back. For you, that was instant. For me, that was about 5 minutes there. So what we have officially is Philly plus six. So the Packers are favored. And, you know, for those of you that don't quite understand betting, and I'm pretty sure this is going to be a horrible description of betting. But essentially what we have going on is that the Philadelphia Eagles, they're starting the game with 6 points from a betting standpoint, which is to say that the Packers need to win by essentially 7 or more in order for you to get your money if you're betting for the Packers. If you end up betting for the Eagles, all they have to do is keep the game within 6 or win, and then you make out there. So usually when you see the spread growing like that in the NFL, you don't really see plus 7 or more. That's usually a pretty big spread. The Vegas wants you to end up betting for the underdog because a lot of people want to take those 6 points. And so they're actually really hedging a lot of money on this game that Green Bay will go out and win. So the gambler in me, I'm going to go for the Packers. So that's that. And just keeping it safe. I'm going to root for the Eagles, but we're going to keep it safe with the calling of the Packers to win that one. And let's see what we got left. Make this moving on here. Patriots at Colts. I'm going to go with the Colts on this one. I know huge underdog, but I just got a feeling. And then Steelers at Titans. Steelers to bounce back. They have these two record-breaking games. You know, Ben Roethlisberger throwing for 12 touchdowns over two games. And then a dud versus the Jets. Some insider information. That was my lock of the week. When I recorded that podcast, it got deleted. I said, Steelers, Jets, lock of the week, Steelers. And that didn't work out too well. So part of me wants to pick Steelers at Titans as my lock of the week. But I'm going to try to pick a new team so I don't get accused of playing favorites or going easy. So let's get crazy here. Broncos at Rams is probably too obvious to go with. So let me go with somebody like Browns Texans. That's gonna be my lock of the week. Browns over the Texans. That's my lock of the week right there. So lock that in. Browns versus Texans. We gotta make some like little jingle or something to play at the lock of the week. Some like cool like boom 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 lock of the week. That's horrible. Nothing like that. So if you're making a jingle, take what I just did and do the complete opposite and make a little lock of the week jingle. That was horrible. I'm ashamed I even did that. But it happened, and we're not going to edit it out, so deal with it. And it's pretty much all I want to talk about with sports, I think. Maybe I'll bring up Mike Trout. Just a little observation. Mike Trout announced today as the American League MVP, and deservedly so. I mean, he just, you know, analytics and just regular numbers. I mean, he had just a season head and shoulders above everyone else. And baseball, I think, is desperate with the absence of Derek Jeter to find, like, a new face of baseball. And they're really pinning it on Mike Trout to be that face of the baseball outfielder for the Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles. Like, is that their official? Is that the full mouthful? Or the Los Angeles Angels? Whatever, the Angels out there in California. He's an outfielder for 111 RBIs this season, batted at 287. That's had a career high 36 home runs for him. Remember back in the 90s where 36 home runs, like, that was super impressive, and then all of a sudden it wasn't. Like, if you weren't hitting 30 home runs, you were a chump. And like, you should have been hitting like 50. Like, men hit 50 or 60. Records were shattered. And now, like, you see 36 home runs and you want to say, like, come on, like, that's not impressive. Like, that's really impressive. That's really impressive. Like, that's what it should be. Which leads me to my point. I want you to go home. I want you to get on that Google machine. And I want you to type Mike Trout. And then I want you to look at him. And then I want you to think of all the scandals baseball has gone. And then I want you to say, do we really trust that this thick-necked meathead is legitimately, naturally, this necklace? And I'm not saying necklace like the thing you put around your neck. I mean neck-less, like just shoulders to face this guy, and not have a tinge of just like, oh, is this too good to be true? I mean, as many times as we've been hurt in the steroid era of just great player after great player after great player taking steroids, do we really trust that Mike Trout at some point didn't juice up to look like this? Like, he was this kind of athlete and just walked into playing baseball? Maybe he is, and I'm hoping. But just food for thought. Just think about it. And that's what the game's done. That's where we are with baseball, that we now look at someone and we second guess is what we're seeing, is this talent or is this cheating? And to me, that's the legacy of the steroid era, ruining a game that was very much of nostalgia and childhood wonder. I mean, everybody knows the game of baseball as youth, and just ruining that. The dream, that childhood dream. It's like the age of innocence is gone. Baseball has finally, with its long history, reached its awkward teenage years where everyone is jaded and wants to leave the house and move on and grow up and be different, but it just doesn't know how and it's awkward. Congratulations, baseball. You're a pimply-faced teenager. Get used to it. One day you'll grow up and people will like you again. Hopefully. I mean, their numbers are amazing. They're great attendance, but it's hard. It's getting hard to watch a baseball game on TV. And the youth are not flocking to it. They're so busy with just instant everything at their hands to have the patience to watch the nuance of a baseball game. Maybe we'll talk about it in the spring. Let's hope we last till the spring. What do we want to do here? Do we want to talk about pop culture? Do we want to get into that? Or do we want to cut off this podcast? Do we want to cut this one short, 31 minutes. Yeah, why not? Let's do a quick pop culture and then wrap this up. And next week we'll hopefully be doing a little better, get back into this rhythm of things. So, pop culture. Interstellar. If you go see Interstellar, see it in IMAX. It's a movie that's meant to be seen on a large screen. Just take it all in. When the rockets are going off, you see it in IMAX. It makes you feel like you're launching off. It's getting a lot of bad reviews. I mean, it wasn't the number one movie of the week. Big Hero 6 was, which is getting some pretty good reviews. It did clear 50 mil, which is a good benchmark this year. Only one, what is it? The one movie this year that wasn't, what's the statistic? That wasn't a superhero or animated film cleared 55 million in its first week, and that was 22 Jump Street. So Interstellar falling a little short, but cleared the 50 mil, which is, like I said, a good number to reach, but not good enough to surpass Big Hero 6. And I don't think week two numbers are going to be good for Interstellar because of the reviews it's been getting, which is unfortunate. I think it's a movie that makes you think, but there's a lot of plot holes in it. We'll talk about that later. Well, we'll let people digest Interstellar, and then we'll have a just plot ruining festival with Interstellar. Hopefully get some physics people to come in here and talk about it. Maybe give some time for our listeners to go watch it. If you do go see a movie though, go see Birdman. I want to talk about both these movies. I want to talk about them with someone who's seen them though. So I think we're going to table these two conversations. I will endorse Birdman. Go see it. It is fun to watch. And pose a little like poll out to our listeners, and hopefully we can get something, going on here on the Twitter and the interwebs. Adam Sandler recently made a movie deal where his next four movies are going to be on Netflix exclusively. Like, they're only going to be released on Netflix. And he got a, how do I put this? What's the term when you have a, oh yeah, a fuck ton of money, I think is actually the scientific term for the deal he got there. And Netflix, they did like this crazy analytic statistical, like they just look at actors or actresses, actors, they're all actors. Actors that got a lot of hits that people were searching for the movies, and they even went as far as they it's not just don't think, oh, these are potheads at 4 in the morning that they're watching you know, Big Daddy and Happy Gilmore for the 80,000 times and the Waterboy just on loop. No, they actually, you know, went through and was able to, like, take out some of that. And Adam Sandler still, across demographic and age groups and all these statistics, he's apparently a huge hit at Netflix. So they went after him, and he's going to make exclusive movies for them. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'll probably watch them. I haven't gone to see his last few films in the movie theater because they've been, you know, horrible films like, what do we have here? Grown Ups 2. That's My Boy, Jack and Jill. You know, just not great movies. Blended. Not that I've seen them. I guess I can't say they're bad movies, but the reviews just horrid. The previews did nothing for me, so, you know, I don't know. But the question here's the question. What's your favorite Adam Sandler film? In order to answer this, you have to ask yourself, are you a fan of serious Adam Sandler, or are you a child of the 90s and will always have a soft spot for, excuse me, the Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore years of Adam Sandler, and you are a Adam Sandler must-do comedy type person? So, quick rundown. If you're wondering yourself, well, you know, what are some Adam Sandler films? There's so many, but I'm struggling for them to come to my head. He had a small role in Airheads, and then he has his first feature film in Billy Madison, then Happy Gilmore, Bulletproof, The Wedding Singer, Waterboy, Big Daddy, Little Nicky, Punch Drunk Love, so his first foyer into serious acting, what a phenomenal role there. Then he goes back to what he knows, comedy, with Mr. Deeds, the animated film Eight Crazy Nights, let's see, Anger Management, 51st Dates, so he reunites with his Wedding Singer co-star, Drew Barrymore, the great chemistry they have in both films. Then Adam Sandler, another serious film, serious-ish, in Spanglish, The Longest Yard, Click, Rain Over Me, his second and probably most powerful serious film that he's done. Then I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, Don't Mess With the Zohan. So Don't Mess With the Zohan's really a turn into just like over-the-top zany Adam Sandler. Bedtime Stories, Funny People. My vote is that's his best role and the my favorite film of his. I just because of the performance he gives. Grown Ups, let's see here, Jack and Jill, That's My Boy, Grown Ups 2, Blended, and then a new movie that's coming out this year, Men, Women, and Children, that's getting great reviews, and I hear he's great in it. It's another serious film. So there's your list of Adam Sandler films. Hit us back with what your favorite is at Lion Eyes Podcast, or send us an email, lioneyespodcast@gmail.com, or take a survey, but that's not going to be up yet, so why say that? And with that, I think we'll start trekking along toward the finish line here. Before we get there, we'll take a pause at the Zach Boychuk pause station. We gotta get some jingles. That'd be a good place for a jingle. So I'm talking about Zach Boychuk here at the end. He followed us on Twitter, for those of you that have been listening. And I want to highlight Zach Boychuk here. I want to talk about him, see how he's doing, check in on his career, maybe tweet at him, let him know that we're talking about this guy, get ourselves an iTunes, and you know, maybe get an NHL player to be on the podcast, and maybe, you know, get some free tickets. How about, what do you think about that, Zach Boychuk? Some free tickets to go see you play? You know, it's, I don't know, that would be interesting to see, you know, a player that we're featuring live, you know that you're listening, that you care about your fans and some publicity, and that you're saying to yourself, hey, I'm going to be in D.C. on March 31st on Tuesday at 7 p.m. You know, come out and watch me, you know, Lion Eyes Podcast, and yeah, maybe. Maybe you can do that on March 31st on a Tuesday at 7 p.m. Just, you know, give out some tickets to your number one fan club here in Maryland, and you know, we'll see what she can do for you. We're still going to talk about you. You're probably never going to listen to this, but why not? Why not try for the chance to get tickets from an NHL player? You know, what's this harming me? Why not? Maybe if you jump on the bandwagon and you start tweeting at Zach Boychuk and you're like, hey, get some tickets for the podcast, we'll do our first giveaway. We'll bring a listener to the Washington Capitals to see Zach Boychuk on March 31st. Again, it's a Tuesday at 7 p.m. So let's make this internet thing happen. Let's get our listeners working together. And yeah, we will take a listener. If Zach Boychuk gives two or more tickets to go see him play at the Capitals on Tuesday, March 31st at 7 p.m. in the Verizon Center, we will give tickets away to our Lionized listeners. So start tweeting, start getting some emails going on, and let's start lobbying our favorite NHL player, that's obviously not a Philadelphia Flyer, to holler at the Lionized podcast. So, how's he doing? How's he playing this season? He's, you know, scoring some goals. He's getting some ice time. He's trying to make the most of his career here with the Carolina Hurricanes for, I think, the second time. This has been the second time he was drafted by them. Played for the Penguins there for a little bit. If he was a Penguin, we wouldn't be talking about him. But thankfully, he's not a Penguin. He's at Carolina, which is my home state, so I don't mind talking about the Carolina Hurricanes. Let's see where he's at right now. He's scored 3 goals so far this season. He's ranked 139 in the NHL. He's at 2 assists, giving him 5 points. He's plus 4 on the ice, which is pretty good. 77 in the NHL there. And he's getting, what's he averaging, about 11 minutes on the ice. I have no idea where that ranks, but I don't know. He seems to be doing all right. I mean, he's not, like, burning down the league or anything, but, you know, shit. How many other of you are NHL players? So, don't give the kid a hard time. Thanks, Zach, for following us. And, you know, we're going to take a little pause here at the end of every podcast and just give you a little shout-out. Maybe get the listeners excited to go see you play on March 31st at the Verizon Center at 7 o'clock. You know, we get more than one ticket. We'll have our first giveaway, so it could be you. It could be you right now listening to this podcast. You could be the winner of a free ticket to go see Zach Boychuk and the Carolina Hurricanes play at the Verizon Center on March 31st at 7 o'clock. That's the Verizon Center. The Verizon Center. I don't know why I'm saying that. Hey, Verizon, if you want to sponsor us. I've been a loyal customer of yours, even though you tried screwing me over with that shitty campaign of yours to get rid of everyone who had unlimited data. That was me. No unlimited minutes, unlimited data. I was baller. And then you know what you did? You murdered my droid. Yeah, Verizon. Murdered my droid. And now I have an iPhone. I'm not complaining. But if I take good care of my phones, and you straight murdered my droid. I'm on to you, Verizon. I'm on to you. And I've got a group of people who support my theory that you're making products that only last 3 years or less so that we're forced to get another fucking phone, even though our phone worked fine. I liked my droid. It had a keyboard. And I woke up one day and it was in DOS. It's 2014 and I had a DOS phone. It was ridiculous. I'm on to you, Verizon. I'm on to you. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not following us on Twitter, get on your Twitter machine right now, at Lionized Podcast. Follow us. You follow us, we'll follow you. Or if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you want to get your word out, you want us to read your letter here on the podcast, it's lionizedpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's at lionizedpodcast for the Twitter, or at email, lionizedpodcast@gmail.com. And here's our big announcement. Again, that's our big announcement. We will be unveiling www.lionizedpodcast.com. Again, we will be unveiling, you heard us right, our own website, www. That's worldwideweb.lionizedpodcast.com. It's being constructed. We're going to get that up. We'll be able to have we'll have sign-ups on there. We'll have blogs. We'll have all the podcasts. We'll have information. We'll have a Zach Boychuk corner. We have our campaign to get our tickets, our giveaways. We'll have tweets and news and more. It'll be fun. We'll have a lot of different things going on the website. We'll make it interactive so that our listeners can have a little community there. And you can sign up for emails because we want to make sure we're updating our listeners with different things going on. And, have a place where we can have a deeper conversation on some of these things. Have a little mini podcast, little cub podcast instead of just the Lionized. Where if you're interested in, pop culture, I'll rant about, Interstellar for a good 10, 15 minutes. And I don't have to rant about it here. So this podcast can be a little stronger and, make it more fun. And so again, that's www.lionizedpodcast.com. It's up and it's coming, but I want to get everyone excited about it now. And if you have any feedback or information or thoughts about what's going to make the website great, shoot us an email, lionizedpodcast@gmail.com, or tweet at us. You should be following us if you're listening to this. It's at lionizedpodcast. Maybe we can get sponsored by some people and talk about their products, like MailChimp. Wouldn't that be nice if MailChimp can sponsor us and we can send out emails that are organized? We're probably going to use MailChimp anyway, so might as well sponsor us, MailChimp. Sponsor us. Or Verizon. I wouldn't have to trash you every week if you would sponsor us. Or, Zach Boychuk, give us some free tickets. Zach Boychuk could be our sponsor. That would be great. Or you could be our sponsor. You can sponsor this podcast and make LionizedPodcast.com happen, because it's not free. It's not going to be free. So you can sponsor us. And I'll say, hey, LionizedPodcast.com, sponsored by Insert Your Name Here. Again, that's LionizedPodcast.com, sponsored by Insert Your Name Here. Net neutrality. It's the fucking shit. Support it. Don't let these organizations charge us for our internet. Look it up. I'm not going to try to explain net neutrality to you. Just people are confusing net neutrality for a bad thing. Because again, these corporations are running a smear campaign. And people just believe what they hear. Comcast says it and they're like, oh, I trust Comcast. Don't. Net neutrality. Obama's right on this. He needs to get some support. The FCC, who used to be a former lobbyist, is like, oh, I don't know if this is right. We got to think about the company. We got to think about the companies. We have to think about the people. The internet is the 21st century version of a commodity. Just like we had no problem with the government saying, hey, you can't make a hand for a fortune, hand over fist, with water or electric or gas. This is a commodity of the people. We got to get co-ops. We have to make sure the people are getting these things. Air, you can't charge a brother for air. You can't charge people for the internet. I mean, like, you can charge us for the internet, but charge us to be able to use it. To say that you can't have certain contacts, that if you want to go online and search for something, you have to use Comcast search engine, not Google. That you have to tell me the internet is free. It's a free place. Everything is equal. Information is equal to everyone. All information is equal. And if we don't support net neutrality, that goes away, where other information will be gained quicker and easier access than other information. And the corporations will decide that, not the people. The corporations. We can't allow that to happen. And I'm officially ending this podcast. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, Old Bay, it's the new Tabasco. Thank you for listening. Until tomorrow, good night.